Gonna bring
put arsenic in the bacon and cheese, and we'll be fine with it.
Yeah, I
it's
mean,
the only way to keep people happy.
Pretty
though.
Much booze okay with that.
Booze and food keeps you happy. If you can't get sex, you can always get food. That's the thing.
If somebody gave me a pizza with bacon and like 9 different kinds of cheese, and there was arsenic also in it, I think I'd be pretty okay with it.
The like, arsenic route isn't bad, except you start to go a little crazy on the way
out.
Well,
yeah.
Oh, like, you gotta have pineapple.
I like the pineapple.
Well, the pineapple offsets the flavor of the arsenic. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, precisely. That you would, gotta get that sure sweet with the bitter.
Antifreeze is very sweet, too. You can put a little antifreeze on it.
Don't. I save that for my drinks.
Don't eat grandma's powdered donuts, is all I'm gonna say.
People who read BC Andrews know what I mean. Don't eat grandma's powdered donuts. All right, the big picture is coming up next. Thank you, Will, for coming in.
Always a pleasure.
And it's been time travel with Chris Earle. See you next week, everybody.
That was fun playing. Little Jamie rides V13. Comes in by the door, goes out by the screen. He don't listen to me, he knows everything. Girls on the
WMFO Medford 91.5 FM. It is The Big Picture. Derek Gary and, as promised, Chase Blaine.
Hey, kids. Sorry I missed you last week.
With you until 9 o'clock tonight. You don't have to listen to me ramble for 2 hours tonight.
You poor things. I feel so bad for you. I mean, Derek can be adorable, but I'm like way more adorable than he is.
It was some vital radio last week. I was dropping hard truth bombs all night long last week.
Well, because I mean that there's a reason that you and I are perfect co-hosts, which is that like we are a good balance. But if I'm not here to balance you out, it's just you freaking rambling for 2 hours.
First of all, I was not rambling. The only.
Okay, you don't think you were rambling.
No, I was not. I was not rambling.
My mom asked me if I wanted to listen, and I was like, I can't. It's gonna hurt my brain.
Oh, I am.
Well, just because it would bother me that I couldn't be here, and it would bother me that I couldn't be like, Derek, you're being kind of a jerk.
Yeah, you would have been picking up the phone. Like, you know, what are you talking about? You stop like saying that.
That's what I said to her. I was like, if I even tried to listen, I would be calling him every 5 minutes, being like, excuse me.
No, I mean, it's, you know, it was good. I, you know what the funny thing is? Is like, we sit here every week and we have all of these topics that we've researched and we're supposed to get through. I figured out, by the way, that
supposed to get through being the operative phrase.
I figured out, by the way, the math doesn't work at all. If we each did like 12-minute segments on all of our topics, like the math, there's no way that we'd ever get through everything that we have.
Well, that's, I mean...
And you don't shut up, so the segments aren't 12 minutes, which just makes it worse.
I beg your pardon. I am the only one that doesn't shut up. Excuse me?
So I think last week in 2 hours with no shade distractions, I got through like 4 topics in 2 hours.
Pink lemonade just almost came out of my nose.
And like 3 minutes on a fifth. You know, and it was just sort of, but the thing that's challenging when you're not here is I have to do everything, you know, and I actually opened the show last week telling
you
people.
You have no one to get angry at.
I opened the show last week telling people not to call in because it was just too much for me to handle. You know what is really hard to do? And I mean, I am a walk and chew gum at the same time kind of guy. I can do that.
Oh my goodness, that's so impressive.
I can sing and dance simultaneously. We'll be talking about that later tonight.
Wait, have you like written into the Guinness? That was going to be such a mean burn. The Guinness Book of World Records about that.
No, I haven't. Thank you for that burn.
It was going to be so good if I could, like, picture it in my brain.
You know what I can't do? Talk about one thing and type something else at the same time.
Oh.
And
So you're saying that the reason you need me is so that you can type I speak.
I need someone else making noise so I can do all the administrative stuff that I need to do to make this show happen. Yes. To keep us FCC compliant, as it were.
Oh, I feel so wanted and needed.
No. Well, no. And of course, I miss your perspective on things.
Well, speaking of which, this is kind of like a whatever story, but I think because the city I grew up in seceded from the city, it's important to me. But Joseph Sullivan, Braintree's first and only mayor for a dozen years, says he will not be seeking reelection.
Why is this?
Well, according to the Patriot Ledger, in an interview today in his town hall office, Sullivan, who's 60, said he'd been thinking about whether or not to seek a fourth term for several months, and the decision has nothing to do with the recent controversies such as opposition to a proposed overhaul of the town zoning bylaws or the abandoned plan to create quote unquote smart growth districts.
Oh, good God.
In the Braintree MBTA station. He said simply, it's his time to step down.
You know what smart growth district means? That means they're going to put
something really stupid.
Yeah, it means that they're going to put up like giant apartment complexes all around the train tracks.
Because
that's
good.
Smart growth.
That's what every time I drive through Quincy now, like, well, that's for those of our listeners who don't know, Quincy actually used to be a part of Braintree. And then a few hundred years ago, our forefathers were like, no, this land is way doper. We're going to secede. And Quincy became its own city and is now, of course, what Quincy is. But I grew up there, and it's so weird to drive through Quincy Square and, like, especially when I lived in California, I would come back and just be like, what is happening here? There's a Barnes & Noble in Quincy Square now. There is a Barnes & Noble in Quincy Square.
What?
Yeah.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
Near Alewife? Or that's not Alewife. Near Quincy Center train?
Like a 2-minute walk from Quincy Center.
What?
Yeah. And I remember driving through being like, are they only selling Gap sweatshirts and Newport Lights and baby blue eyeliner?
Because yeah.
That's the only thing that should be sold in Quincy Square.
Like, who in Quincy Center reads?
Well, it's sponsored by Quincy College, which apparently is like a big deal now when it used to be, oh.
Oh, that's what you got.
Like, oh, you go to Quincy College.
That's what you got. You
like, my mom went there when she was 50 to take an extra class. Yeah. You know what I mean?
You got a college move in, and they're taking over the neighborhood now.
Oh, they've been there forever. It's just that people care all of a sudden. But yeah, it's just...
That'll get you from zero to gentrification real damn quick.
Well, even driving through Quincy the other day, and like my therapist, hey Brad, my therapist is in Quincy, and I'm driving through trying to find a parking space near his office, and I see all of these children who are Black and Hispanic and Italian and Greek and all of this, and I am not saying anything bad about any of those cultural identities. But I'm sitting there looking, and one of them was wearing a Central Middle School t-shirt. And I was just like, when I went to Central Middle School, you were either Irish,
or
Italian,
Irish,
or Chinese.
Yeah.
And that was it. There were two Black people in my entire school. And it's so strange to see a city evolve that way, which is why this story stuck out to me, just because I was like, my God, it's Braintree. And well, that dude's been the mayor pretty much since I knew what a mayor was.
Yeah. Well, Braintree is also the rich town next door. You know, I mean, that's
true.
You know,
like, I'd hang out with Braintree kids and they'd be like, you're from Quincy.
Yeah. You have multi-unit housing in your town. That's like, what's that like? Yeah. Braintree, home of Dave Digger.
What's welfare?
Yeah. Braintree, home of Dave Digger Ford and the single family home. That's what you got in Braintree. How does Dinger do it? I miss those Dave Dinger Ford ads.
I miss a lot of stuff. It's your turn.
I'm pulling it up. It takes a second here.
Oh, pobrecito.
So, fun happening over in Everett.
yeah, Everett is usually pretty fun.
From the Boston Herald, which will no longer be a source on this show. This is probably one of the very last.
Has it ever?
Well, yes, because I brought this up last week.
I just referenced the Patriot Ledger, and I trust them more than
here's the deal. I use ad blockers because these news sites have so much advertising on them that it crashes my computer and renders them unusable. So
the other ones say, click this. It's very exciting.
Yeah. And it's not like I'm sitting around, you know, rocking an old 386 laptop. You know, I have like gaming hardware that I use for computers. You know, like I could be an esports player with the rig I'm rocking at home. And all this stupid advertising crashes my browsers. So I run ad blockers. And the Boston Herald is one of a growing number of publications, including USA Today and all of the Gannett newspapers. I think the Dallas-Fort Worth Star-Telegram, I was surprised to see, they're now doing this. If you are running an ad blocker, they won't show you their content anymore.
No way.
To which my response is...
That is absurd.
Well, that's... But to which my response is... We started using ad blockers because your sites didn't work. That's why people did it, is because the advertising was intrusive and it caused problems on our computers.
Yeah, like, well, that's the thing is that, like, I mean, a lot of times this advertising that comes up will literally make my computer crash.
Yeah.
Like, I will have to turn it off.
Yeah. That's why we use ad blockers.
And I have such a cute little computer.
And by using ad blockers, we were sending a signal to the people who run online news sites saying, fix the advertising. It's not that we don't like advertising. It's not that we don't want advertising. We don't want advertising that crashes our computers.
Which I don't think is a crazy request.
If your business plan is to render your website unusable, that is not a good business plan. So for the last year or so, everybody's been getting away with the ad blockers. Clearly, it's hit critical mass because now I'm seeing this all over the place. It started out with USA Today probably a month ago that they'd put a thing up and be like, please turn off your ad blocker. And then after 2 weeks of that, they just stopped showing the content. And that spread across all of Gannett. Now the Herald is doing it. Dallas-Fort Worth, Star-Telegram is doing it. So my response to that is I'm hitting the back button on you guys. And I encourage anybody out there to do the same. Because the reality is, if a piece of content, if a news story is worthwhile, it'll be in dozens of places. Somebody somewhere will let you read that without the ad blocker.
Well, even like preparing for this show each week, I will find a news story and be like, you know what? I don't like the way that this is explained on this site. And then just type in like the keywords for it and get 19 other sites.
Right.
Like 19 other news sources.
18 of which, by the way, have cribbed the source that you don't like. And one that's like, here's actual reporting. Oh.
Yeah, like here's the actual, God bless you, the AP.
Yes, really. Associated Press News Break. Where have you been all my life?
Well, it's so funny because I'll see like this dramatic display and then it's, you look at something written by the AP and it's, so here's exactly what happened.
Yeah.
This is your best way of knowing it.
So
everyone else is a bunch of dummies.
So the ads are a problem. The ads make the website unusable. So I run an ad blocker so that I can read your content. Now you won't let me use the ad blocker. And if I turn the ad blocker off, your site becomes unusable again. So the solution here, and I encourage everyone to join in with us on this, tell your family, tell your friends, let us all become ad warriors. Put in an ad blocker. Pretty much everyone has at this point, or these sites wouldn't be doing this. If a site will not show you their content because you have an ad blocker on, don't go to that site anymore. I haven't been to USA Today in 3 weeks. Don't even.
Why do you even stop by?
Because.
I mean.
Because Gannett.
No, I understand. I was just being, you know, cheeky.
When they're not being the Huffington Post, they do aggregate the best of Gannett.
Well, that's the thing is that I always think that they're more official Huffington Post.
Yeah.
Like, that's the way I think of USA Today.
They were actually, for like a couple of months, a really good
news site. By the way, Mom, if you're listening.
They broke the Larry Nassar story.
That is true. Well, that's the thing is, I mean, when you're any sort of journalist or anything, you take what job you can get. And just because you work for something that's a less than reputable news source,
right,
does not mean that you are not a reputable journalist.
Either that or there was one reputable journalist still left who, you know, wrote a good article on their way out. You know?
Yeah, I was saying, hey. That peace, I'm working for the Times.
Yep, hey, this got me an interview with the New York Times. See ya. Yeah. But this is the problem, okay? The problem is that the ads make the website unusable. So if they're telling you to turn on your ad blocker to see the content, you know what's going to happen. The website will continue to be unusable. Just hit the back button, okay? And by the way, I will tell you right now, this is not going to be forever. Because of the time that I put in looking at news sites to put this show together, I'm out front on this one. You're hearing this story here before you're going to hear it somewhere else.
Get it. You're welcome.
Within the next 2 to 4 weeks, someone will do a big front page story about how all these news sites are now blocking ad blockers.
Well, I mean, think about the
2 to 4 weeks.
What's that dum-dum's name? The Jussie Smollett incident. You and I totally called that like 2 weeks before it broke that he was a big fat liar. Yeah, kids, you heard it here first is what Derek is trying to say.
It may be less than 2 to 4 weeks because I know that there are journalists and news producers who listen to this program.
Hey, guys.
And are probably sitting around like, ad blockers.
Well, could they sit around and be like, hey, let's hire those super, super smart people.
No. No, because we're giving it to them for free every week. It's like, yeah, boom, here you go.
Oh, I hate society.
So here's what's going to happen. Someone's going to write a story about this. And I'm going to tell you right now, if someone is telling you to turn off your ad blocker, don't go to that site. As I say.
Because you can get it anywhere else.
This is war.
Not anywhere, but you can get it somewhere else.
This is war. War does not come without sacrifice. But the other side of it is... And
this is war. Oh my goodness, I feel like I should be wearing camo.
It is, because this situation with the ads is ridiculous. It's unacceptable. but here's the bigger picture on this. If everybody starts hitting the back button, this is the start of the second quarter right now. Sometime around late July, early August, we will see news stories coming out about how all of these news outlets have lost a third to a half of their daily views because people hit the back button.
Because of this. Yeah.
People hit the back
because
button.
Because of precisely what you were saying.
When they were asked to turn off the ad blocker. Now look, if these guys offered either ad-free subscription, I'd be on board, or journalism actually worth the effort. You know, this is one of the problems is you're monetizing garbage in a lot of cases. USA Today haven't missed you. Haven't missed you one bit because you don't have anything of any value. And if you actually break a story, somebody that's a legitimate news outlet will give me the highlights and I can move on. but there is a war going against the ad blockers right now that is being led by these news sites. And you, as somebody who simply wants a news site that functions, a website that you can access without it crashing your computer... The way that you fight back against this is do not go to those sites if they tell you to whitelist them. Do not go to those sites if they tell you to turn off your ad blocker. The ads have not changed. The sites will still crash. That's why we started using ad blockers in the first place.
Well, it's funny. I've spoken on the show before about when I took a class called Media Industries in college and had my mind like explode once I found out how news sources actually worked, how, like, that six companies owned everything.
Yeah.
Like, all of that stuff. And I was just trying to explain that to my cousin the other day, who's 20. And she's listening to me and is like, none of what you're saying makes any sense. And I was like, I know, but that doesn't mean it's not true.
Right.
I know, like... The explosion happening in your brain right now, that happened in my brain when I was your age. I'm trying to tell you so that someone else doesn't have to.
By the way, I'm in this industry and we don't run ads like that. So, you know.
I was going to say, D's an honest man.
I mean, I'm looking at this page on the Herald right now. We got an ad in the upper right hand corner.
I still can't believe that you're like talking about the Boston Herald. That's our New York Post.
We got a banner.
Which I also don't use for reference ever.
We got a vertical over here at the top of the page.
Did you check the daily news to see if the news matched?
We got another ad box down here. We got an ad in the middle of the content. Oh, that ad just updated. There's probably some Taboola feed down here below the comments. Nope, Outbrain. So we got all this Outbrain garbage at the bottom. No autoplay video. I'll give them credit for that. That's a win. Anyway, speaking of...
I hate that. That's like my number one news pet peeve.
So, you know, one of the things for these news outlets is you don't get to be sources here anymore. Sorry. You know, I am not going to fight with your broken website because of bad advertising and the bad companies that you work with to elevate you to consideration for this show. I will go get the news elsewhere. That simple.
By the way, I hope Molly doesn't get mad at me. You look super cute with your hat on backwards.
Oh, thank
like
you.
That. That's pretty dope. Molly, don't get mad at me. I'm not hitting on your husband.
Wynn Resorts.
Nor would I ever.
We're supposed to be getting to the point on this story. Wynn Resorts defends CEO as state gambling regulators weigh casino license. Wynn Resorts has issued a full-throated defense.
A full-throated. Full-throated defense.
Who wrote this? Jonathan No.
If I had a nickel for every time I threw my throat at something.
Jonathan No wrote this. You know, that's Harold's style, but that's also like...
Now I want to punch them in the throat.
Do you want to punch them in a full throat or just a throat?
Partial throat.
Wynn Resorts has issued a full-throated defense of company CEO Matthew Maddox. In a 49-page legal brief to state gambling regulators, after company executives were grilled over the handling of sexual misconduct allegations against former CEO Steve Wynn. What do we got here? We got this. So, yeah, that's pretty much all you need to know about this story. The State Gaming Commission. All right.
I'm sorry. I cannot stop laughing at full-throated. Right. I will collect myself. I'm sorry.
Right.
We cool.
Here's a couple of things that you need to know. Number one, the casino is set.
I can't believe that you're like, now this story is actually getting to its height.
The casino is set to open in a month and a half. It's set to open in June.
And it's blinding. Have you driven by it?
The casino is going to provide thousands of jobs. The casino is built. It's almost done. Do you think for a moment, Shea Spillane, that the Massachusetts State Gaming Commission is going to halt the opening of this casino?
Hell no.
Yeah, exactly. So what this is the State Gaming Commission trying to shake down Wynn Resorts? Because here's the thing. They're claiming that Matthew Maddox, he's in charge now. He's the guy that runs Wynn Resorts now. The State Gaming Commission is trying to say he's unfit to run Wynn Resorts, which is the holding company. He's not running the casino. He runs Wynn Resorts. The casino has a separate manager, all right? They're trying to say he's unfit to run Wynn Resorts because he may have known about the Steve Wynn sexual misconduct scandal and didn't report it properly. Are you kidding me? This is a shakedown. Well, that's what this is.
I was going to say, I feel as though this is, they're not actually going to do anything with this. It's just them showing Wynn Resorts that they can.
Oh, my sweet summer child.
Like, it's them saying, like...
Oh, my sweet summer child.
What?
No. No. You know what this is? This is the Commonwealth of Massachusetts saying...
At least you didn't call me a millennial.
This is the Commonwealth of Massachusetts saying, if you would like to open your casino, please write a check in this amount payable to the Massachusetts State Gaming Commission. It's a shakedown. It's a shakedown.
Have I ever told you what my brother calls lottery?
What? Oh, the tax on
stupid people.
Yeah. But that's what this is. This is the State Gaming Commission trying to shake down Wynn Resorts, and Wynn Resorts turning around and saying, you're going to put thousands of jobs on the line right now. Let's go.
But it's give me some credit, though. I know what you're saying is absolutely true. At the same time, though, I do think that they're purposely saying, like, hey, we can do this. Like, you are in the palm of our hand like a baby bird. Like, this is their way of saying that, like, you can't do, I was just about to swear, but I'm not going to. You can't do poop. That's the euphemism for the word I wanted to use. You can't do poop unless we let you. Like, it's their way of saying, hey, we own you.
It's not, but
they don't. I'm not saying that your theory is untrue. I'm saying that I think that both of them are, they're married with the hand and the baby bird.
But the problem is that the State Gaming Commission doesn't have any leverage here. Because when...
But how, I mean, how can you say that? I mean, they have all the leverage here.
No, they don't.
Because there's a reason that they will or will not be able to open.
No, because you know what Wynn can do? Wynn can say, all right, we're not going to open it.
Say Wynn again.
Wynn.
You've said it like 16 times in the last 2 minutes. It's really funny.
Wynn Resorts.
Wynn.
Can simply say, we're not going to open it. We're done. Goodbye. And then I think it's 6,000 jobs. 6,000 jobs disappear.
From the Commonwealth, yeah.
And what they will do is they will sell it to somebody else so that they will make back their development costs on it and
then
profit.
And then say, screw you, because Massachusetts.
Here's what they have. We have a brand new casino, freshly built, untouched by human hands.
Yeah, it's really shiny.
And by the way,
I just drove by it on the way here.
By the way, it's the only one that's going to exist in New England.
Yeah, that's true.
Minutes from downtown Boston.
North of Connecticut.
The part of New England people want to be in.
The part of New England people care about. Yeah. No offense, Connecticut. But
minutes from downtown Boston.
I call you the 97 annoying exits between me and New York City. You must be somewhat self-aware.
There will be a people mover going from Sullivan Station to the casino at some point in time. I guarantee you this. So somebody will buy that. And what Wynn can ultimately do is say, you know what? We're going to pull an Amazon. We're done with you people. Goodbye. And then the State Gaming Commission is going to have to sit there and explain to 6,000 people who have been hired and are expecting to go to work on June 1st why they don't have jobs. You think that's going to play well? Do you think that's going to make the politicians happy?
I won't lie. I am very excited to perform there.
This is.
They must have a comedy club. It's a gigantic casino.
Oh, yeah. They'll be doing that. But this is... The immovable force going up against the against the immovable object.
I was just gonna say, what's that thing they say about the unstoppable force going?
But it's a classic shakedown. And clearly the Commonwealth of Massachusetts is asking for more money than Wynn is willing to part with. Usually, because these casino developers know this. Like, they're used to moving into these small towns. Where you'll get some town manager who'll be like,
yeah, like think of Foxwoods and Mohegan Sun. Have you ever been to the towns that those places are in? They're nothing.
Well, you know, we could give you the occupancy permit, but gee, you know, our budget's like $500,000 light, and they're like, here's a check, give us the permit, and then everything moves on. That's what small towns do.
Oh, yeah.
Massachusetts is like, we have them now. And it's like, no, you don't. No, you don't. They have you.
Well, this kind of reminds me of the whole thing that happened with filming movies. Is that, so when they were, little known fact, listeners, when they were filming The Departed, though some scenes were filmed in Massachusetts, a lot of them were filmed in New York because the taxes were way cheaper. So like the things that it was like, it has to be in Massachusetts so that we can see the Neponset River or things like that. Those were filmed here, but the rest was filmed in Brooklyn because Brooklyn kind of looks like ghetto parts of Boston.
My wife and I were watching a scene that allegedly takes place in Boston Common. And we're like, that's not...
Oh, I want to punch the TV when that happens.
That's not Boston. Because you look at the buildings in the background, and you're like, nope, but nope, nope, not Boston.
But so, of course, The Departed went on to make, I don't know, I think it was like $100 million.
Yeah.
And Massachusetts was like, shoot, like, we totally should have made it possible to film here, especially because so much of it is, like, dependent on the fact that it takes... place in Boston.
Yeah.
So that's why a lot of movies have been filmed here recently, because Massachusetts lowered, I think the tax rate, it went from like 15 to 7
this,
or something
this
like that.
This battle has been going on since at least 1997, which is when I was running a running a monthly magazine that talked about the Massachusetts film, or the New England film industry. So 22 years that I've been watching this go on.
Well, and that's the great irony too is that now I watch things that are supposed to take place in New York, and I'm like, I got drunk there when I was 17.
Yeah,
like this is totally being filmed in Boston, but it's the same sort of concept where it's like Massachusetts really needs to wise up to like actually this maybe would be. A good idea for us to make it possible for this to happen here.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, like you said, it took 20 years for them to be like, hey, We should let movies be filmed here, especially if they're supposed to take place in Boston.
But the state, the taxes are only part of the equation. You got to get the Teamsters to play ball too. And that has been
varying degrees of difficulty. I mean, come on.
No, there's been varying degrees of difficulty over the years. Because these guys, when they come to Boston, they don't want to use union labor. And when the unions find out about it, the gloves come off.
Then they're just like, no.
Yeah, and all hell breaks loose.
Oh, goodness. Such a fascinating city we live in, isn't it?
My prediction is that the casino opens and that there will be some transfer of money.
I was gonna say, I'm waiting for the world to explode when the casino
There will be some transfer of monies from the Wynn Group to the Massachusetts State Gaming Commission to facilitate the opening of said casino. So.
Well, speaking of, I love that I just brought up the Departed, because my national story is very mafia-esque.
We still have a mafia? We're not talking about...
You guys can't see my hands. It's shaking back and forth, saying, like, kinda.
We're not talking about the Trump family, are we?
I was going to say that.
Hey-o.
That, I believe, is the closest we still have to a mafia. But an actor and two other people are facing 20 years in prison after they confessed to trying to extort $198,000 from a former New York pizzeria owner in a plot that federal officials are describing as similar to a mob shakedown. This is according to CNN. Douglas Singer, Leroy Wilson, and Marianne Wood each pleaded guilty yesterday to an extortion conspiracy involving an unnamed victim in Brooklyn. The incident started last year after the victim sold his pizzeria in a building he owned to Singer. And this is according to the U.S. Attorney's Office for the Eastern District of New York City. The victim sold the pizzeria for $60,000, a $15,600 security deposit, and monthly rent payments of $5,200. From there, the business deal turned into a scene from a mobster movie, complete with a muscle man in a dark outfit and sunglasses. The three carefully scripted an intimidation plot to force the victim into giving them $200,000. Like, I read this story.
Who does this?
And was like, yeah, first of all, who does this in 2019?
Yeah.
And gets away with it? And second of all, has Martin Scorsese signed on yet to film the movie about it?
I don't think you'd get away with that stuff anymore. I mean,
me neither. That was the biggest thing. I was just like, how are they getting away with this? And can you teach me how? Because I would love $200,000.
Now, when did this go down?
Started in 2018.
So before The Godfather got whacked on Staten Island. Were these guys paying tribute? Because you can get in a lot of trouble doing this kind of thing without paying tribute.
None of them are even Italian.
You got to kick up. Oh, boy.
None of them are even Italian. Oh. Gambazzo, see? What?
Folks, I got some news for you. You're not starting a new mafia in like the 21st century, okay? You're not,
especially if your last names are Singer, Wilson, and Wood.
Yeah, you're not. No, you can't do that anymore.
I couldn't. That's why I knew you would love this story. I saw it and was like, you know what? There's probably something more significant happening in national news right now, but Derek is going to love this.
The old mafia can barely stay in business, and you're going to start a new one? Give me a break. Come on.
Like I said, Campazzo.
Do you know how easy it is?
That means how crazy an Italian.
Do you know how easy it is?
Not that any of them know that.
To make money on Instagram with sponsored content? Yeah. I mean, come on.
Do you know how many calls I get daily telling me that I've been approved for my loan offer that I didn't apply for? Or like telling me that they can lower my electric bills when I don't pay for one? There are so many more updated ways to scam people.
Yeah. Here's a good one. Create a fake story that a homeless guy gave you his last 20 bucks so you could buy gasoline when you were broken down on the side of the road.
Wait.
That's a good. Then start a Kickstarter or GoFundMe.
Wait, but was that the Nigerian prince that I'm sponsoring?
No. You don't have to do that anymore. No, you just find a homeless guy and you're like, hey, we're going to do a GoFundMe thing and you will make $500,000. way more than these people got trying to extort Pizza Guy.
That just made me think of, have you ever seen the Steve Martin bit about how to be a millionaire and not pay any taxes?
Yes.
The first thing you do is get $1 million. And then you don't pay your taxes. And when they bring you downtown and you're standing in front of the judge, just remember these two simple words. I forgot to pay my taxes.
Still funny. Why is the stuff?
I love him so much.
The stuff from the 70s still funny, and the stuff that is because on Saturday?
People were smarter in the 70s, Derek. Have you not realized this yet? You call me a millennial every single week, and I yell at you for it because it's partially true. People were funnier in the 70s.
But what happened?
Known.
What happened? Why were people funny in the 70s? And Saturday
Cocaine.
Night Live can't write a joke to save their lives today. Oh, no.
Cocaine.
Look, if you're working at Saturday Night Live, you got all the coke you can handle.
I can handle all the coke.
Plus, like, half a dozen club drugs.
Why don't I work at Saturday Night Live?
Plus half a dozen club drugs that didn't even exist in the 1970s. I mean, those kids are whacked
I would say they also had Quaaludes in the 70s, which are now illegal. So maybe it had something to do with Quaaludes.
No, I don't know. Because you took...
Quaaludes sound like so much fun. Have you ever seen that scene from Wolf of Wall Street? That is... I mean, Leonardo DiCaprio has done some amazing acting over the years, but that is the most amazing performance I have ever seen in my entire life. Him trying to get into his I think it was a Lamborghini.
Yes.
On Quaaludes.
Yes.
Is amazing.
Yeah, that's why you don't take Quaaludes.
So unbelievable to watch.
You don't take Quaaludes when you want to be creative or do anything for that matter. you take Quaaludes when you just want to collapse against a wall for several hours.
Do you know that Jonah Hill was actually up for a bigger part in that movie? Read the script and said, "No, I want to play this character." And I didn't understand that, and I saw the movie and then was like, "I get it."
I know people who were there who said that Quaaludes killed the 70s.
Well, I know that Charles Manson killed the 60s, but I did not know that about the 70s.
Yeah.
I was like 16 years before. I was waiting 16 years to be born.
Because everybody was smoking pot and taking acid and tripping and, you know, just wandering around and having a good time.
Again, that sounds like a blast to me.
And then the lewds showed up and everyone would just like take lewds and just lay around all night. And suddenly it's like it wasn't fun anymore. So.
Oh, it's just like Quincy when everyone discovered heroin. That was super fun.
Yeah.
I came back from college and was like, I don't want to hang out with any of you anymore. Because you're sad.
The heroin is not good.
No, it is not. Hey, all of my friends from Quincy, stop dying and stop putting needles in your arms.
Yeah,
Thank you.
Quit using the heroins, kids. The heroins are not good for you.
No me gusta nada.
It is WMFO Medford. Did you know that, Shea Spillane?
I did.
It is WMFO Medford.
Someone told me that recently.
855-915-9636. That's the telephone number over here. And I think it's this.
No why. There's no sun up in the sky. Stormy weather.
Your Boston 5-day forecast. I will find it for you in a moment. I'm putting the show together on the fly. That's kind of how that goes. Tonight, kids, it's going to be, you know, wintry still.
I think our best shows are when they're like a little bit off the rails, to be perfectly frank.
We're in that weird, like, sort of used to happen in March, spring, summer boundary.
Yeah, where it's like, do I need a sweatshirt? Do I need my North Face?
So depending on
do I need a bikini?
Depending on where you go tonight, you're going to need a coat and maybe some gloves because temperatures are going to be around 34 degrees in the city, below freezing out in the burbs and the valleys and places like that. So depending on where you are, it could be chilly. Bring those temperature-sensitive plants indoors. If you've taken them outdoors, I don't know why, but if you have, bring them back in. Tomorrow, mostly sunny day, high in the mid-50s. That's nice. Temperatures fall back into the upper 30s tomorrow night. Not so nice. Friday, cloudy.
It's balmy compared to like when it was 5.
Cloudy but no rain on Friday. Highs in the mid-50s, lows around 50 degrees Friday night. Saturday, cloudy. Chance of some showers. Highs near 70. Here's spring for you. Lows in the low 50s Saturday night. Sunday, showers in the afternoon. Highs in the low 60s. Lows around 50 degrees on Saturday night. And then rain next week. April showers. That's right. I think that's Marathon Monday. Are they doing the marathon on Monday? Or is it next week?
Monday is next week, sweetheart.
No, I mean... is it the 15th or the 22nd?
When
is
it? I think it's usually just about the second week in April. So I think it's the 15th.
It's already, we're into like, April 15th. So it's Monday. We're already into the nonstop marathon coverage. So I know it's coming soon. That's the one thing you can be sure of is when everybody in the media is saying, Marathon, hey, we got some marathon over here. It's time for the Boston Marathon. And you can just tune out until Tuesday after this show, of course, and avoid all of that. 855-915-9636 is the telephone number. It is WMFO Medford. When we come back, bad stuff happening down in New York City.
Global.
If you thought, I haven't done my national yet.
Oh, no, you haven't. I love when we go off the rails. It's really my favorite time.
If you thought the return of the amateur mafia in New York was bad, boy, I got something way, way, way worse than that.
Sister, let me tell you a tale.
A whole different kind of throwback bad happening right now in New York City, right after this.
Oh, I
here
can't wait.
On WMFO Medford.
Love on the edge of a knife. And- I'm Sarah Beck for the U.S. Department of Agriculture with a quiz. Round steak is considered a good economy cut. True or false? True. Round steak is not quite as tender and juicy as some other cuts, but it has very little waste and can be made tender. Let the USDA quality grades be your guide to the right cooking method. For more free information, write How to Buy Meat, Agriculture Radio, Washington, D.C., 20250.
Miss Tony Award-winning Best Musical, Titanic. It sails onto the stage at North Shore Music Theater in Beverly May 4th and 5th. A lush and stunning musical score and fascinating real-life stories of her passengers. It's a captivating experience for both history buffs and music lovers. Titanic, presented by Voices of Hope. Tickets for Titanic support cancer research at Mass General Hospital and are available now at nsmt.org. That's nsmt.org.
Medford, 91.5 FM. You are listening to The Big Picture. I am Chase Blaine. With me, as always, is the illustrious Derek Gary. We're going to be here with you until 9 o'clock. If you want to give us a call, we love hearing from you. You can do so at 855-915-WMFO. And now, oh my goodness, we've gone off the rails. Derek is just getting onto his national story, I believe.
Yes. And we're, well, I mean, it's
a good off the rails. It's because we have a lot to say about the various topics we've been talking
about. We had to talk about the ad blockers.
Oh,
and
of course.
Again, you know, if you're used to going to a website with an ad blocker and suddenly they're not showing you their content and saying, oh, please whitelist us, hit the back button. Do not whitelist them, because the ads are still a problem and your browser will still crash.
Did you say whitelist?
Yeah.
Is that a thing?
That's a thing. It's whitelisting.
I've literally never heard that in my entire life.
Yeah, no, whitelisting. You've never heard...
As opposed to blacklisting.
Right.
No, I've never heard that ever.
Blacklisting is everybody can come in except you, Chase Blaine, because you're Irish and Irish need not apply.
No, that's just in New York City in the early 1900s.
Whitelisting is saying nobody can come in except you, Chase Blaine, because you're Irish and we have Guinness.
And my hair is so pretty.
Yes, and your hair, and that's, so that's, no, whitelisting is when you block everything but make an exception for someone who's claiming to be a good actor.
Oh, I see.
But still has garbage advertising that will crash your browser all
I
over your website.
I can't believe that I've never heard that before.
And
I mean, I
videos.
Understand the concept, absolutely, but I thought that you were making something up right then. I'm not going to lie to you.
The ads, the point is, the ads have not changed. If someone will not show you their content because you use an ad block, hit the back button, and we will fix this. But it is going to take everybody working together on this. This is like mandatory voting. If everybody does it, you get better results.
Melissa Joan Hart is so cute. I'm sorry, that was completely...
She is a generally adorable human being.
She is, and I've loved her like my whole life. I'm sorry, that was completely unrelated to what we were talking about. Okay. She just popped up on my screen.
Is she having a baby?
She's joining... the live airing of People. No, nothing interesting about Melissa Joan Hart other than that she's adorable.
Is she looking for love in all the wrong places? Because Melissa...
No, she has love in all the right places. She's very happily married.
He's not good enough for her. Melissa, call me.
No one is good enough for Melissa Joan Hart. Let's make that clear on this program right now.
All right.
If Zeus was real, he wouldn't be good enough for Melissa Joan Hart.
That's the way women think. Women think is different.
Oh, no. I hate most women, but she's dope.
Okay. New York. This comes to us from CBS, WCBS 880 in New York. Story broke yesterday. De Blasio, he's the mayor, his honor. De Blasio declares health emergency, orders measles vaccinations in Williamsburg.
What?
You may be old enough to remember when we eradicated measles in the United States.
Yeah, that's why I said what?
That was 19 years ago, in the year 2000. We eradicated measles. Gone. No more measles. And then what happened? Vaccines cause autism. And all the dum-dums, I'm not vaccinating my child. I'm not vaccinating my child. And now we have measles again. And here we go.
Oh, my God.
Mayor Bill
de Blasio is so freaking stupid.
Mayor Bill de Blasio declared a public health emergency on Tuesday and has ordered mandatory vaccinations for people who may have been exposed to the virus in parts of Williamsburg amid a growing measles outbreak. Since September, the city said more than 250 measles cases have been confirmed in the Brooklyn neighborhood. Quote.
Oh my God, is it 1912?
We have a situation now where children are in danger. We have to take this seriously. Every one of us has to feel responsibility for the situation because measles is so contagious, can spread so quickly, de Blasio said at a news conference at a Williamsburg library on Tuesday morning. Under the order, unvaccinated people, including children over 6 months old who live or work within zip codes 11205, 11206, 11221, and 11249, will be required to get an MMR vaccine. That is measles, mumps, and rubella. Members of the city's health department will check the vaccination records of any individual who may have been in contact with infected patients. Those who have not received the vaccine or do not have evidence of immunity may be given a violation and could be fined $1,000.
Okay, I'm sorry. Can I rant on this really quick?
Hang on. The order will remain in effect through April 17th. The City Board of Health will then decide whether to extend or rescind the order. The city's health department says yeshivas and daycare centers will immediately be issued a violation and could be subject to closure if they let in unvaccinated students. The mayor told New York One on Monday, quote, what we're seeing is very clear. Children cannot, must not go to school if they are not vaccinated. Now, I don't think they got into the... Yeah. Okay. The CDC says the anti-vaccine movement is partly responsible for 100 new cases last week. 100 new cases last week, Shay. Mostly in the Orthodox Jewish community in New York. Now, CBS 880 is kind of tiptoeing around this because this isn't a citywide measles outbreak yet. This is... None of these Orthodox Jewish kids have been vaccinated. Not because there is a religious exemption, as I understand. I don't think God says thou shalt not vaccinate.
God doesn't care.
Yeah. It's people are using that as an excuse. And I've heard this. I've heard it both. It may be. There may be a reading of the Talmud somewhere that says you can't vaccinate your children. But I've heard it said from people who are Orthodox Jews, that there is nothing that prevents us from vaccinating our children. This is a choice that these people have made.
Okay. All you dum-dums, if any of you are listening, there are diseases that there aren't cures for, or that the cures only kind of work.